Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 133 of the Van Hemlock Podcast. Christmas. It is. It's nearly Christmas. And so, in a spirit of seasonal laziness, we haven't bothered with any news this week.
Oh, it's a season of goodwill, so I didn't want to annoy anyone.
It generally makes you cross. Also, there wasn't really a lot of it about, was there, this week?
Not a lot. It's a short week as well.
Fair enough. So, straight on to what we're playing show.
Yeah.
And I shall kick off with Warhammer Online. Go on, are you going to ask me, are you still playing that?
Over by Christmas.
It'll be over by Christmas. No, it won't. It won't. We'll be on... probably well into the new year by the looks of things. Well, the thing is, I swapped over to become my zealot, you see, which is the healer from my tank. Turned up. Now we've got about... typically we go rolling around with two healers, one DPS... three healers, two tanks, and one DPS. And that's a fantastic way to break the game, as it turns out.
Does that not make you almost unstoppable?
It does. It does. It takes a while to get things done, but it does make us pretty much unstoppable. It's crazy. We've... the first week we were doing mostly open RVR, still acclimatising ourselves to the new system. I think we all understand it now. It's all the Muppets who keep charging at the keep gates who are just not going to change. And it's all, you know, the population balance problems are still there as ever. You know, I mean, it'll be a good game or a bad game depending on how many of what side is present and in what numbers. And we had a bad week where we turned up every pairing we went to, we arrived just as it had been completed. So 15-minute time
quick,
reach time.
They're coming. Stop.
Well, yeah, exactly. We show up. All right, where's the fighting? Oh, it's over. Oh, well. So we go off to the next pairing. Oh, that one's over too. What this new system seems to have done is split people up a lot more, spread them about. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, it's no longer the case that there is one massive fight going on in one place and nothing else. Because the way the new system allows individuals, single lone players, to effectively, well, win whole pairings if not stopped. And we came within 20 seconds. I think there were six of us. And we came within 20 seconds of stealing an entire pairing in Tier 3 the other week.
Wow.
That was brilliant. Yeah, we just sort of decided to farm a little bit of influence or renown and, you know, pop over to a pairing that wasn't seeing any use. You know, a big battle going on one of them. So we decided to open up a new front, captured a few flags, and it's going quite well. And I think, well, let's just stand by the flags and keep sending bag carriers to the keep and see what happens. So rank 1, rank 2, rank 3, rank 4, still no opposition. I think it was perhaps one order player turned up, we killed him and he went away again. we got the ram out, we thought, alright, let's take it to the enemy keep, see what happens. No one on the battlements, nothing, no boiling oil, which is always nice. Set the ram up on the outer door, knocked that down, got all the way through, set the second ram up on the inner door. And I think we'd got it down to... I think we killed it. And we got up into the main room and suddenly we got blindsided by a bunch of order players who'd taken one look at the map and gone, hang on, whoa. So it's amazing what you can get away with in there with the new system now. I mean, I had reservations about it because I'm not sure if I'm, you know, happy with the idea that one single player can flip an objective. You know, it's supposed to be a game about armies, about large battles.
Yeah,
and
but
so
it
on.
Takes time, and the other people can stop you quite easily.
Well, as we saw, yeah, I think we were literally about to grab the, you know, right click on the keep banner flag and a 20-second timer and stuff, and they came in and walloped us. So
what you should have done,
seconds away from six players just single handedly winning
the battle.
Did
you need those six players?
I think you probably need a minimum of four to make it work well, because you need one person to park on each flag and keep sending bags.
I was just wondering, if you spread out, you could do it to the whole map. You're bound to get a couple, because well, they're all going to go to the same place.
This was a pairing of maps. That's the whole point. Two whole zones. Six of us from the hipster battalion managed to almost seize an entire victory, which is crazy. I suppose it depends what you want. It opens up a bit of flexibility, I suppose, because there is a big battle going on somewhere and you can pile in and join it, but it also, if you're feeling a bit more ninja-like and a bit more commando-esque, you can go off to another pairing and start mucking about with flags and things. And I'm amazed how quickly the influence is coming in as well. The OpenRVR lake influenced the turquoise bars there. That always used to stall quite badly and be very difficult to fill in because you'd out-level the whole area before you'd get anywhere with it. Now, because every time you're in a lake and a bag makes it successfully from flag to wherever it's going, everyone on your side in that lake who's flagged for RVR gets a big old influence. Well, a little influence payout, but they add up over a long period of time. So I'm seeing influence rewards, which is nice. seeing them a bit too low to be able to use them in most cases. I keep picking the high renown rank requirement ones. But they'll something to grow into. We went and did, well, they patched it, I think, between the 2 weeks, and we went in there, and I think we were looking for a bit of a change, because the RVR was stalling a bit, so we went off to look for public quests in Tier 4.
Ooh.
Yeah, well,
scary.
We decided, well, let's go and have a look and tag a few flight masters anyway. So off we go into Tier 4. We took the wrong junction at the wrong road and ended up terribly confused and lost, and in the green skin rank 40 PVE area. This is me at 23, although I was the lowest in the group. I think 23 ranging up to about 30 is our level. So we decided to had a crack at the easy rank 38 public quest, which we completed with very little trouble. It was difficult disengaging from it all. The spawn rate was quite high. It's this stupid thing. We've got two tanks and we've got three healers, and nothing is going to kill those tanks. Nothing aimed at PVE, at least, anyway. And we've got one person doing DPS and desperately trying to bring it all down. It took a quite long time, but yeah, if we concentrated and kept it all on the AoE attacks and everything, and even I, as a healer, have a few of those, we're managing to survive quite readily in rank 38. PV country. So we thought, all right, let's go try the right next stop, the rank 40 hard public quest, which is aimed at 40 is aimed at 8 or 9 players of rank 40 or more, and you know, still the 6 of us ranging from about 23 through to 30. I don't know what happened. Did they patch it and break something? Because,
well, do they just not care about the single player anymore?
I don't know. I think that could be it. It could be just that the single player game is such an afterthought and such a marginalised thing in Warhammer nowadays that they really don't care. You know, yeah, whatever, just level up and get on with the battles, you know. We were doing, it's like a Slayer fortress across this giant bridge, and there's some NPC greenskins helping us as we were advancing across, but we got up to about stage 3 out of I don't know how many on possibly some of the hardest PvE content the game has to offer, and I'm still level 23. I mean, I'm not complaining. I mean, I was getting a lot of resists when I tried to cast any offensive spells on the enemies, but I could still heal quite readily, despite my levels. And yeah, I think the highest out of us was only about level 32 or something, so yeah, I don't know, something a bit weird there. It is interesting, a good old road trip, and you know, just seeing places we've not seen before. But I think, it's certainly in their eyes, it's all about the RVR, and rightly so, because so many other games do the PVE, I suppose, better. But it's still there, and it's easy to overlook it. And of course, especially with this new pairing split thing, where you are expected to stay in the tier 3 pairing maps until level 38 or 39. Now, you might, by the time you get out there and into tier 4 RVR, you've missed all of the PvE content in the tier 4 section. So yeah, good stuff there, still going. I'm liking it. I'm going to try and get my Zealot up, but I'm not sure I want to. But I can't find to put the extra time in to get my level caught up with the rest of the gang. But it'll get there eventually. I mean, I'll level slightly faster because as a group I'll get a slightly bigger share. But still playing that. I'm looking forward to the Land of the Dead. I think 32 is your jumping off point for that. So,
okay.
So I think some of us are there already. Some of us are getting there soon. I may have to swap across or do some power leveling just so I can keep up with everyone. Good stuff. I'm enjoying it immensely. I mean, just the rough and tumble and the novelty of the new bag resource carrier system, still quite fresh. So I'm quite involved.
And the fact that you're obviously abusing it by knowing what you're doing.
Well, we're sort of. I know. I sort of sat there and I thought, oh God, what's wrong? Why aren't we dead yet? You know, sort of throwing heels in and so on. And I was thinking, yeah, actually, why don't we do this in more games? Why not, as a standard 6-man party, you take 3 healers as a matter of routine? I mean, nothing will destroy you, because they balance it to 1 healer per group of 6 or 2 at a push. Maybe 1 primary healer and 1 hybrid healer in a group of 6 in most games, in most MMOs. Why not bring 3 healers? It takes you a bit longer to get anything done. But
you're going nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. I've got time. I mean, typically they usually sort of offset this kind of thing by making, if you're trying to attack something that's vastly higher than you in any most normal MMOs, is they'll just resist your attacks. They'll either have massive armor so you do almost no damage, or any spells you cast at them get resist float up over their heads as a kind of fail safe. If for some bizarre reason you decide to bring four healers in a team of six and are effectively invulnerable, it still stops you from running amok too much with it. But it didn't seem to be working too well in Warhammer. I don't know. I mean, I was getting a lot of disrupts when I was trying to cast on, but maybe. Who knows? It was crazy, though. Just mostly incredulity. Why aren't we dead yet? I don't know. Should we try something harder? Yeah, go on then. I think we found some of the hardest stuff available in the game and did all right. Made inroads, certainly. I mean, the stage that killed us was when it just started vomiting about 10 champions out at once and gave us 10 minutes to kill them in or something. I think you probably genuinely do need a larger number of people to be able to do that, but I was just quite impressed with it all. And basically, that suggests to me that the whole rest of the game is now available for us to pick and choose from, as we see fit.
Except for maybe the PvP.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering if it'll... No, there's no bolster, is there? That's it. Yeah, I mean, we can go into the Tier 4 area and start charging around, but we're going to be one hit by most people, so probably want to hang on there. Let's see, we've been playing a bit more Guild Wars. This whole Warring Kryta story arc, it's been there a while, but we've only come to it. We did the last bit, finally, yes. Oh, it was a hell of a fight. The very last section is basically a defend Lion's Arch section. You end up in this instanced version of Lion's Arch, which is usually a big town hub full of goods and services. And in this instance area, it's night, and it's being assaulted by vast numbers of incoming White Mantle and Mersats and Jade Cloaks and all that sort of thing. Some very stiff opposition there. Quite tricky. I think Asgard got there before the rest of us, and he was having trouble with it because you're in an outpost where you can only bring six people from, not eight, as standard, and also the henchmen available to assist you are level 10, which is really not up to the job. So you probably will need at least two people plus heroes just to get the thing done, let alone anything else. But now we all piled in there and give it a go. Oh, it was hard work. I thought we'd wiped at one point, but a couple of us got wiped. But you res inside the mission, and basically you can resurrect as many times as necessary before, as long as Queen Salma, like the NPC, is actually alive. To protect her at the far end of the place, and it's just wave after wave of level 28s coming in groups of like eight or more, and they're giving them all dual classes as well, which is something you don't generally see that much in, certainly in prophecies. I mean, Eye of the North dabbles with it a bit on the monsters, but yeah, these are sort of whole new variants of White Mantle that they've invented just for this quest line, and some of them are pretty tricky. They've got some very, very solid combination skills in there. We did all right, though. I was there as a mesmer, doing my best to shut down the wizards and incoming casters, elementalists in particular, just draining them, disrupting spells and that sort of thing. It's when they come in and there's a wave of like blokes with hammers and stuff, and you think, oh, that's all right, we'll settle in on those. You don't notice that the row of blokes with staves at the back are all just standing there charging up AoEs and stuff. And there's a couple of really massive alpha strikes we had to cope with on our way in. But yeah, we fought them all off, and that's that done now. I think there's some sort of on next linking connecty story thing going on with Lieutenant Thackeray and Gwen, some nonsense about their burgeoning relationship and the strife that ensues with it. But yeah, the whole Warring Kryta section, I think that's finished now. I think the next thing, there'll be a few little linky quests, and then I think they'll be starting to deliver on this Canthan factions themed storyline linky quest section next. So that'd be interesting. Let's see what else I've been playing. Lord of the Rings, been playing quite a bit of that. We've been doing a lot of skirmishing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Is that a wise thing to do?
Well, I think most of us are now level 20, which seems to be where pretty much all the... Yeah, there seems to be almost nothing at all for group stuff below level 20 in there anymore. Which I suppose is, you know, understandable. That's the time you sort of... That's the time you spend learning your class, learning your skills and that kind of thing. Tutorial, I suppose. But once you get to 20, the skirmish captain becomes available and you can start
doing something.
Doing some skirmish stuff, yeah, exactly. But as well as that, the classic dungeon stuff, that all becomes available as well. Which is the Great Barrow. It's the first of the big six-man team dungeons there. We've been doing some of that.
Yeah.
Well, first week we did, we had a 12-man skirmish. It was brilliant. We went the first week, we did the Siege of Gondomon at like level 22 or something, but with 12 of us, selected the raid option. It's fantastic. It's absolutely mental. You got we had about 11 people in there, plus all of their skirmish lieutenants as well. And on top of that, you got all these NPCs flying around everywhere. I think there was a couple of captains there with banner pets that they get anyway. It was mad. It was just absolutely chaos. Gondomon, fairly straightforward. You got the top of the stairs where there's a dwarf on it. You got three archways. You got protect various waves of incoming monsters from that. And yeah, just charging backwards and forwards as each horn blow gets announced, and it's just chaos. It's like people charging around everywhere, people forgetting to loot. It's quite tricky getting everyone to connect to the damn thing in the first place as well, and this was repeated the following week. It's like, you know, we'll hit the go button, and then like two people will link death out, and then we'll wait while they come in, someone else disappears, and then there's some AFK. It's like a big coach trip, you know, trying to organise people.
You have to have the buddy system.
Yes, very much so, yeah. We didn't win that one, which is a shame. We did all right on all the normal waves, and then the last wave, when they come charging up the stairs and start dropping in from the sides and stuff, they sent the biggest spider I've ever seen. It was enormous.
Spiders can only be so big, otherwise the physics doesn't work.
Well, yes, I mean, you try pointing out the cube squared ratio problem to a spider the size of a barn, you know. I mean, it doesn't want to know. It doesn't, you know. You shouldn't be able to walk, you tell it, and it just bites your head off.
How are those legs supporting you?
It didn't seem to have any trouble with support whatsoever, and it wiped us out, basically.
That's mean.
Yes.
Not only was it inconsiderate by existing...
It was doing all right for itself, yeah. But everyone seemed to love it, though. It was a fantastic day out, you know, just sort of the spectacle of it all, I think, in most cases. This week we did 12-men raid on the Trublet Tuckbury, you know, the sort of Hobbit Hill.
Yeah. I hate that
way
one.
Around. It's tricky with pathing. It's a bit of a pain in the arse.
I always forget which way to go.
Yeah, it's a nice little adventure, and it's sort of also not a timed thing as well, which is an advantage over Gondomon, where you have to be ready for each wave in time.
Oh, that one can get a bit...
Are they timed, or does it not come in until you've killed the last of the...
No, I've had multiple waves attacking me at once.
Oh, God, right. Yeah, whereas Tuckborough, it's very much when you dictate, you know, you move forward when you're ready and that sort of thing. Trouble in Tuckborough, Priestesses of Flame as a standard lieutenant, which are a lot of fun.
Oh, we fought one of them before, didn't we?
Yes, and then we never did Fellowship skirmishing again after that, as I recall.
We wiped in seconds.
There was a lot of swearing, grumble, 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 broken, grumble, grumble, rubbish, not doing this again, yeah. I mean, I think the first Priestess of Flame wiped the entire group of 12 people just as we come in. The first one standing on the hill waiting for us, Priestess of Flame, and I just thought, oh God, here we go. And yeah, true enough, I think but literally the best strategy to dealing with the Priestess of Flame is execute Starburst formation. You literally scatter, you know, if as soon as you see that sheet of flame down, leg it, and it doesn't matter what direction, just get away. And hopefully by that point you've all run in different directions, so she can only incinerate two or three of you at once, and then the other nine of you jump on her. you know, any plan that needs attrition as a basic component is never a good one, but we haven't worked out a real winning strategy for those yet. Basically, she runs in, she does a massive AoE cone arc in front of you, just a sheet of flame that goes on the floor, and that does about 200 hit points DPS. You know, every tick it'll do about 200 hit points, so you've got about 10 seconds most to stand in that before you're dead. There's me desperately trying to heal and everything. Hard work. But we managed to, we kept at it. Something I noticed with the skirmishes, you don't seem to get a death penalty when you get killed in them. You don't
get a skirmish penalty, don't
you?
Yeah, you
get a penalty to the amount of skirmish marks you're going to receive, and that accumulates as you go, but you don't actually get any stat debuffs.
Okay,
you don't get the gloom or whatever.
It's like they're designed to be fun.
Well, yeah, you just lose bounce, or everyone bounces up and you charge at it again. I mean, the old minus 60 DP train from Guild Wars there. It's not the ideal way of doing it, but you get there in the end, and it's still good laugh. I enjoyed it thoroughly. We actually finished that as well. That's tricky as well, that one, right at the end. If you're doing it in fellowship modes, or, you know, in raid mode, you get about four lieutenants at once at the very end. the general guy there. It's the usual thing when you get him down every 25% of his hit points, there's something happens, and mostly he just calls in another skirmish lieutenant. You can have like three or four of these things running around all at once if you're not careful. And some of them are worse than others. I mean, we've had ones where I think it's a dwarf. It's some sort of runekeeper type of dwarf who just keeps dropping shutty, you know?
Yeah.
A bit shutty. The Sigil of Healing, I believe its proper name is. The Green Rock runekeepers do with the AoE heal. He seems to drop an orange one of those that does damage over time in its aura, and he just runs around dropping those everywhere, and it's a nightmare because it really stacks up. And of course, the Priestess of Flame is a big problem. There's a couple of less obvious skirmish lieutenants who have some really remarkably powerful effects that you don't really pick them out. There's some that like reduce all damage by 50% unless you kill them first, and this, that, and the other. And it really popped luck on the very end there as to which three you get, as well as this general you're supposed to be smacking down as well. But I think we lucked out. We got some manageable ones, and we did a fairly good job of pulling it all as well. So we got through. We won. Hurrah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I got way too many skirmish marks now, because my first experience with skirmishing was as a level 60 or whatever at the top end. So naturally, you had to really grind the hell out of these things just to get enough points to get your skirmish guy up to the same sort of level as yourself. But if you're going at it at level 20, you only got to sink about, I don't know, 80 points into the level of your guy, and he's then suddenly out-leveling you. You know, he has a purple level compared to your own. And the same with all of his sub-abilities, which leaves you with a lot of skirmish marks left over. I mean, I suppose you could theoretically keep pumping up level. I don't know. Does it go wrong if you try and push it too high up? I don't know.
I don't know.
Or you just waltz in there at level 20 with a level 65 sage who just nukes the whole thing and picks up all the loot for you, which would be good. There's lots of other stuff to buy in the skirmish. See, that was the other problem. As a level 65 with Moria medallion armor and a legendary weapon that's all pimped out and everything, none of the rest of the stuff any of the skirmish people had on offer for marks was of any use to me.
No, it wasn't, no.
But now I'm basically a lobby again, down in the 20s, and not really twinking myself particularly. Some of this stuff was actually looks like it might be worth buying as well. You got the classic vendor as well. He takes the skirmish marks and some special tokens you get by redoing old dungeons. I think the big thing at the moment is everyone's working towards their Great Barrows armor, which is an armor set available for redoing the Great Barrows. Great Barrows is different now. They've split it into three sections.
I remember a dev blog thingy on that.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're going to do that with... what they seem to have done is they've split the two first wings. You had to get two halves of a key.
Yeah.
That would let you into the final area. I think they split each of those two halves into its own thing, and the final area is another separate thing. And you can start them in any order. Once you've got the key, which you'd need to have done both of the preceding two instances for, that then goes into your passive skills as Skull Key, and you can just go straight for the third one, go for the kill on Sambrog now. Much better. I mean, I think this is probably what I remember us complaining about this way back.
Yeah.
How some of these instances would take, 3 hours and you'd still only get halfway through or not quite get the final fight where you get the key to allow you to start the next bit. And it seems, certainly for Great Barrow, they've divided the whole thing up into more manageable chunks. Hopefully they've done that with all the rest of the dungeons all the way out, because some of them really did take a very long time. And it's a shame because... You know, I mean, it was sort of acknowledged even within the dungeons back then, because there would be a lot of, you must have this key to open this door, and if you get through this door, it shortcuts half the instance, you know, that sort of thing. Now they've seemed to split them into entirely separate sub-instances as well, so it seems to make it more manageable, more flexible, I suppose, yeah. I like the skirmishing, because our Hobbington Crescent, the next generation there, we're varying playtimes, varying playstyles and so on, so we're already starting to see a bit of a level spread, and I'm not going to tell people they need to power level to catch up, whatever, you know, either do or don't, whatever's fun for you, but it does mean that we're going to see some level drift over the coming months, I think, and probably we'll end up with an A team and a B team, a sort of higher level team and a lower level team, and have to find content appropriate according to who's about, really, which is fine, and a well-designed game will provide stuff for that.
Although Turbine could solve this by adding...
Why don't they have mentoring?
Because the system wasn't designed for it
I know. It just seems like the one thing that they've got wrong, you know. But we're doing all right. I like the skirmishings particularly because that seems quite level forgiving. You've got a fairly wide spread in there, and it's something everyone can get to. You can join from anywhere in the world. You don't have to do the massive travel to get to the same place. And it turfs out decent rewards, decent cash as well. Those recruit bounties that they drop. You can sell those for some ready silver quite quickly, quite a lot of it too. So it's all very good. Useful flexibility. I think it's a useful, repeatable tool, I think, available for people who are trying to plan static nights or ongoing groups or whatever. You know, that's there. Here's an option of something you can all do regardless of whatever else has gone on. I think the classic may be that as well. It basically plays out like skirmishes. They don't seem to have a 12-man version. I think, to be honest, if the dungeon was a 6-man dungeon to begin with, it will still be a 6-man dungeon. I don't think they're providing 12-man variants, but that's not a problem. We split into two teams and go for it.
It'd be nice if they did, but that's probably really hard,
well,
isn't it?
Towards the top end, there are proper 12-man dungeons anyway, proper raids, and 24? I don't know. The UI's a nightmare once you start turning into raid mode. The screen just fills up with multicolored blocks, and you have a bit of a headache, to be honest, looking at it all.
Yeah.
Especially as a healer who, you know, sort of intense focus on health bars that mostly are being covered up by buff and debuff icons. It's a nightmare.
You need to turn off other people's buffs and debuffs.
I need to talk to you about how to best arrange my UI as a minstrel, because it was giving me some jip, to be honest.
Xbox One in the other window, usually.
Yes, or mining in Eve apparently works well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could devote my attention like you. Yes. There's Christmas stuff.
Oh, is that?
Yes, there's a whole load of Christmas, a whole new zone for Christmas this time. Yeah, it's not just
have to log in.
Not just go to the party tree and, you know, do a thing and here's a bag. No, there's a whole, you go to your travel points. There's a special festival horse point, Bree, Thorin's Hall, etc., all the starter areas. Takes you to a whole new zone, which, when you zoom all the way out on the world map, appears to be somewhere to the west of Evendim, Forachel, right up in the top corner of the mountains, you know. And there's a whole town there, you know, at least the size of Bree, this town, perhaps a bit smaller.
Oh,
and how did no one ever know?
I'm really going to have to log in.
Yeah, there's a town there. It's chock full of seasonal events, and there's a little bit of a story to it all as well. Looks like, you know, there's a jolly...
Has Saruman stolen Christmas?
No, it's... it's some bizarre thing where this town is almost exclusively devoted to the Christmas trade. Only there's this other section of town where it's all very complicated.
But town is there the Halloween trade, and the leader of that town wants
Jack Skellington came along. No, on the one hand, you got this pint food eating competition where the aim seems to be to stuff your guts as much as possible within a minute. And
I can get behind this.
Yeah, and at the other end of town, there's a whole bunch of peasant workers who are all starving to death and having a bit of a problem with that. So, you know, I think there's something not right with the Winterholm and the seedy underbelly there. So I'm going to enact regime change or some kind of redistribution of the wealth. You got some sort of snowball firing range. There's a theatre as well. The theatre's the big centrepiece, I think. Basically, every so often, the big theatre there, a load of people go in there, you wait a bit, and a number of players get picked to be members of the cast on this play.
Oh, boy.
I don't quite know how it works. I think it's...
Griefing.
No, I think they've thought of this. I think it seems to be overriding you with NPC lines. You sort of appear on this stage, and I don't quite know what's
Sounds
going on.
Riveting
there.
Experience if
well,
you're chosen.
Yeah, maybe. Or perhaps it gives you multiple choice and you have to correctly choose the right thing at the right time, because there's opportunities to throw flower petals at people on stage and rotten fruit, which you buy from a concessions person, and there's deeds for doing that at the right times and the right thing as well. And mostly it seemed to be flower petals. I don't know. Perhaps everyone was doing it well or something. So I don't know how you're going to work up the rotten fruit. You'd have to have someone go on stage and deliberately fluff it up so you can grind the rotten fruit throwing points. I don't know. It's all very complicated. I couldn't honestly tell you what the play was about, because I was so busy concentrating on the flashing on screen cues to throw flower petals that I wasn't actually watching the play.
This is why you don't go to the theatre normally.
I know. This happens a lot in real life too. Sorry. Yeah, there's the usual sort of collection of winter coins you get for it all, and you can trade them in for a whole bunch of cosmetic-y items. The snow-dusted gear from last time's there again. That's got some of my favourite. That's stuff, my High Plains Drifter outfit, remember?
Oh, yes.
With the hat. Oh, that's very good. I think there's a new outfit there as well, as a few other bits and pieces. I didn't see an awful lot of stuff on that vendor, to be honest. It seemed quite a small selection, and there's so many different ways to earn the coins in there by the looks of it, so... yeah, good stuff. I'll check it out. I imagine that'll be there until some point after Christmas, a week or two after. Good opportunity to get in there, see some new stuff, grab a bit of cosmetic outfits, all that. There's Christmas stuff going on everywhere, isn't it?
It might be Christmas.
I think it's Christmas coming up, yeah.
Or Doctor Who Day, as I like to know.
Doctor Who Day, yes. Haven't seen the Guild Wars Christmas thing. They tend to only do their thing on Christmas Day itself, or New Year's Day itself, New Year's Eve, which is a very, very limited window, which, whereas other MMOs tend to have much wider spans. I don't know what... I don't think Warhammer had anything Christmassy last time I looked. But
it's not a very Christmassy game.
It's perhaps there'll be the occasional cosmetic-y thing, or a Christmas-themed PvP page to fill in the book like they did with Halloween. Who knows? I've been playing Pirates of the Burning Sea.
You have, yes.
Yes, this is the new addition to the lineup at the moment. I just want to get out of one, I find myself in another. Very good. I'm enjoying it a lot, actually. There's a couple of us from the the Van Hemlock forums. They're all signed up on the Roberts server, which is the European one, and we're all on the British side. We've all picked England. Very important. If you do want to hang out with us guys, you've got to pick England, because they have quite a restrictive cooldown timer on changing sides. You can have characters on as many sides as you like on the same server, but you can only swap your active nation in the ceasefire period between territorial conquest rounds, and the last one of those lasted 7 weeks with a 48-hour ceasefire between.
On the other hand, it is a free-to-play game, so you just make another character.
Well, I'm wondering... No, even if you make new alts, they still all have to
make a new account.
Well, yeah, I think possibly you can delete all your characters and start again, maybe, if you...
No, just make a new account.
Well, maybe, yeah. It's all tied to station accounts, so there.
Make a new station account.
Whatever. I forgot what I was going to say now.
You were going to talk about the strange amount of research you did.
Yes. I tried it with the cheap seats and had a bit of a run around. And I made a naval officer, and I gave myself a fancy blue long coat with all the buttons and the braiding and everything. Anyway, it turns out when I came back that I'd been running around in the colours of a Frenchman, which is not the best thing to do in a game where the English are at war with French and I'm an Englishman in an English port. So I re-dyed my coat red. Yeah, it's a fantastic customization there. You can do it anytime, anywhere, and you just right-click and change your outfit. You don't have shops or have to buy anything. There's unlockable extra costume parts you get for questing and so on, but that's all good stuff. So I went with a red coat, and I thought, well, no, this isn't right. I don't remember seeing any red coats on Hornblower. So yes, a bit of web research. You know what I'm like when I get one of these moments come upon me. And I found out that apparently from the early 1700s through to about halfway through the 1700s, the British Navy didn't actually have official uniforms. That didn't happen until much later on. And the red coats with all the white bandoliers and everything, that was the Marines, who were formed from infantry of that period. That was an army thing, not a navy thing, see? So it's okay, it's totally okay to have whatever colour coat you like if you're in the British Navy. But most of them tend to go with a very dark blue or navy colour, because it seems to fit. So that's good, yeah. We've been, I don't know, mostly working through the Lobby stuff along the sort of the coast of Venezuela or wherever it is, KN and Jenny Bay and Rossignol and so on. It's very much sort of hub-to-hub questing along that coast, and eventually you work your way up into the sort of Antilles, I don't know, Windward Islands. My geography's a bit... I tell you, I'm going to know all this stuff off by heart this time next, in a couple of months.
Assuming the islands are in the same place still.
Yeah,
well... It was a couple hundred years ago.
I don't think there's that much continental drift. Been partly doing the sort of little questy stuff, learning how to play. I mean, the sword fighting, I don't know. I don't know whether it's psychosomatic or what. I know that between when I tried it and now, they've reworked it in some fashion, and that it now doesn't suck. And they're right, and I don't know why or how, because I can't really remember the old one. It seems better. I mean, it could just be that they've made it a bit easier. And what I'm finding also is that if you just load your character up with loads of 180 degree forward arc AoE attacks, and then just sort of, wait till all the little guys are all fighting each other, then charge up to the side and whoosh, swipe them all sideways. That seems to work for most stuff. Save your big single target debuffs and big damage attacks for the enemy captain, and the boarding actions aren't too bad, actually. They're certainly tolerable, and I found myself even enjoying them a bit, actually, which is something. The sea combat's still very good, though. That's the old... I get very annoyed with the whole wind compass, though. Okay, I keep stalling the ship by pointing it in the wrong bit of the wind, and it's all gone slow, and they're going round and round me, and I'm firing it. And yes, I'm going to invent a steam boiler. It's a couple of hundred years early, I think. Maybe even a diesel engine.
I think you'll find that the ancient Greeks invented the steam
boiler. Why aren't they bloody putting any steam boilers on these ships?
The ancient Greeks were rubbish when it came to actually doing anything with their inventions.
Yeah.
They would just invent them, decide that it worked, and move on. and then wouldn't even bother building them.
Well, I'm frustrated because I don't quite understand.
They didn't believe in experimentation. They just believed in thinking. And if they'd done more experimentation, they wouldn't have believed some of the weird stuff they believed.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the sailing, I don't know about the sailing. I mean, it's something you clearly you're going to get better at, and you're going to get this instinctive feel for. I mean, I'm starting to get the hang of it now, and I do win pretty much every engagement. I haven't actually sunk. I've only sunk once so far. That was me trying. That was me not realising that I was level 15 and still in the newbie ship. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I should have bought a new boat by now. Ah, right. So yeah, I got a bit overwhelmed by trying a level 15 mission in the here is your very first ship. So I've got a proper. I've got a Van Hoon.
Ooh.
Van Hoon Snow. So all you naval aficionados out there.
Look at the prow on that.
I know, yeah. Oh, look at the figurehead. Yes, there's, that's a level 12, the first of the warship line. You've got scouts, warships, and merchant ships. The scouts are sort of your fast sort of DPS-y, I suppose. I don't know, fast attack? I don't know. The warships are more of a tanky kind of role. It's something I've found about this. I'm having real trouble applying standard MMO terminology and concepts to this game because it really is different in most ways, and I'm finding it really refreshing.
Sounds awfully like Star Trek Online to me.
Well, I've never played that. Perhaps many of those concepts transfer across as well. But yes, I got one of those. It's got a number of guns and some serious draft and an awful lot of tonnage and all the rest. The ship character stat sheets are incredibly complex in that game. You open up this window and it's just tables full of arcs and tonnages and dry weights and yardage of sails and so on. I mean, it's they've really sort of gone. I don't know if how many of these ships are real ships from history or how many they've made up, but along similar sorts of lines. But it all does seem very authentic. I mean, something I was pointing out to the chaps that the game was missing was massive squid. And you know,
you need those.
No, well, I don't think you do. There's no fantastical elements in this game.
They're
there's
real.
There's no magic. There's no sea
giant
voodoo.
Squids are real. They found them.
Yes, yeah, giant squids are like 10 metres long, not giant squids as can eat whole boats and don't explode when they come to the surface sort of thing. Trust me, I'm a marine biologist. No, I'm really enjoying it, though. We've sort of, I don't know why, but Sven, who seems to be in charge of our big ragtag fleet, the flamboyant conspicuance... good name there. He seems to have become governor of Bridgetown, and we don't know why or what he's going to do with it or whatever.
Do you know how?
I don't know. It's sort of guild-run towns. Guilds can own the towns and so on, and I don't know what the responsibilities of that entail, but now we seem to have wound up with a Caribbean island of our own.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I think mostly because no other bugger voted for nominated themselves for governor, so it'd be interesting to see what happens there.
Can he resign?
Yeah, I imagine the first time it's captured by anyone, he ceases to be governor quite quickly. But
oh, if only been able to do that in Galaxies.
Well, just open the gates and let someone into rampage through the town. Finally, I can be out of here. Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot. I mean, it's just the novelty of it, I think, in many cases. I mean, you know, I've played a lot of MMOs in my time, and a lot of those MMOs have been broadly very similar to one another. But this is something quite different again. I mean, yes, Eve, yes, Star Trek Online, but even then, not really. You know, it is its own thing. I suppose Sid Meier's Pirates, if anyone's played that, there's a more recent version of that, then, yeah, that's that kind of thing, but a bit more stat-based, a bit more MMO-ish. I don't know. Very hard to describe. I recommend people have a look.
Well, it's different. That's why it's not that successful.
Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are like. I mean, the load always seems heavy. They've got three servers. One of them's a test server. One of them's US. One of them's a European one. It's effectively everyone's playing on the same server, or at least the same server that matters. Yeah, and the load always seems it seems heavy on pirates. It seems heavy on British. It seems moderate on French and moderate on Spanish, I think, a lot of the time. Spanish and French not as popular as the British and pirates. I mean, pirates is pirates. Everyone wants to be a pirate because pirates are cool. And the British, I don't know. A lot of people are English speaking. You know, the language of the internet, etc.
All down to Hornblower.
It's all down to Hornblower. Yeah, the French and Spanish naval fleets of the 1700s, not quite such a high profile, I suppose.
Well, ours at that stage weren't quite as good as they were later.
It is
Some of the advancements we made were not quite then.
Yeah, well, obviously, if you're French or Spanish, you're going to get a kick out of being able to play your own nationality in possibly the only time ever in an MMO.
I think then, actually, the Spanish Spanish and the French were more powerful than us.
Maybe. Well, the Spanish won the last big 7 week territorial thing. There's some
They nearly won the Americas, don't forget.
Hilariously elaborate procedure for winning the Caribbean that involves all sorts of numbers and unrest counters, and you can contribute by just going out and killing NPC shipping of the other nation. You can go out and kill enemy players. I think the pirates get to throw their oar in at all levels, but I don't know if they can capture ports. I don't think they're eligible to win the whole map, but they can capture ports, certainly. And then also free traders, you know, the whole economic side of it. You can contribute to unrest by delivering supplies to rebels in the port, so that's the whole sort of crafting side of it, contributing directly to PvP as well. It's all very complicated, and I think Sven did something of a guide on our forum there, which I must go and read and learn at some point. Me, I just charge around the Caribbean.
Killing stuff.
Well, we seem to have obsessed with fine wine, which can only be grown in two ports. You know, the grapes for wine can only be grown in two ports, right on the far side over sort of Mexico, Mexico way. And we were looking for some of it to finish one of. I think Trinit was trying to build a boat, and for some reason it needs a bottle of fine wine to complete the boat.
We need to get it off the what's it?
Presumably to smash on the prow. Yeah, exactly. And we couldn't find any anywhere nearby, so we were. We turned to piracy against French merchant shipping in the hopes of finding a bit of wine on one of their boats. Not a single drop. It's like the whole French navy had gone dry. It's just like, what? Yeah, we had to go at Spanish, and we thought, well, it's just going to be sherry, really, isn't it? No, nothing there either. So I think he went off and bought some from the whole other side of the Caribbean. The open sea map is really big. I mean, I don't know how big the Star Trek Online sector maps are in terms of just getting from one side of it, the world, to the other.
Takes a while.
Yeah, yeah. The Pirates of the Burning Sea world map is pretty damn huge. And, you know, happily sail your way across here, but it'll take a couple of hours to get from one end of the other to the other, I think. Sort of almost at the scale of Eve, I suppose. I don't know. But, yeah, that made it quite difficult. I mean, I found a book which taught me how to make fine wines, if I get the right kind of winery, but then the grapes still have to come from the other end, so I thought I might just sink all my production into fine cheeses instead, which the book also taught me about. I don't think fine cheeses are helpful in boat building, but you never know.
Can't go wrong with cheese.
Especially fine cheese.
Yes.
I'm liking it a lot, actually. I mean, I have part of its novelty. We'll see how long it lasts. But just reveling in an entirely different setting and an entirely different game. And, yes, very different mechanics as well. I mean, if you're sick and tired of World of Warcraft and all the other games that are a lot like it, you couldn't go wrong to give this a look, to be honest. And if you're planning on doing that, check out our forum to find out where we are. You can hang out with us. Harris French wine merchants.
Have they fixed the problems with the patching yet?
Yes. Yeah, that was a weird one. I think they dropped the whole of EverQuest 2 into the Pirates of the Burning Sea patch directory or something. We logged in to find a 4.4 gig download waiting for us when they hadn't actually changed anything at all. So that was a bit crazy. Apparently got around that by using the Station Launcher, which is like the Sony's big generic one that has all the MMOs on it. And if you'd go in through there, it was only 100K or something, 100 meg patch. Strange. They've got some Christmas stuff. You have to go around the newbie town with this pirate singing carols in various people's houses, and you get to learn about the Christmas traditions of all the other nations who are in the Caribbean.
Fucking Christmas.
Yeah, but you do get this cool little rat that can stand on your shoulder, which is probably quite unhygienic, to be honest.
Very, yeah.
And also there's a very cool quest where you have to go to this fort to stage a reenactment of the Battle of Junkanoo, which is when the natives threw off the Dutch oppressors in a big sword fighty thing, and you have to do this acting thing again. It's like a sort of role play thing within the game, which is all a bit meta. But
and the Dutch lose.
Well, the Dutch, yeah, well, they're actors, so you're fighting.
Have you
them.
Any idea how many Dutch listeners we have?
I don't.
So you
know.
Had to bring this up.
I don't know if this was based on anything real or whatever. Anyway, the thing is, the real Dutch turn up toward the end, and they're not happy that you're making them look like idiots. So it's very.
You're not helping.
Very, very diplomatic. Yes. So that was all quite good. Yeah, I wonder why the Dutch aren't playable.
Don't know.
They were a big power in the Caribbean. Yeah. I guess they decided they only wanted three PvP races.
You only really want three. You don't want more.
If you wanted four, but yeah, enjoying that a lot. I'll play a lot more Excellent. Of that. Shall I talk about consoles?
If you must.
Mostly, if it Just Cause 2, which I yoinked off your shelf
yes,
last
you
time.
Did.
Yes, I've been playing that. Very good fun. I think you've talked about it a fair bit
before
on a previous show, but I just want to echo how much fun it is. It was a bit, I don't know, it's good and bad. There's good points and bad points. It does that thing where it learns how not to suck from its predecessor, like Assassin's Creed. Much better than the first game. A lot more flexible. There's a lot more interesting things to do.
You can use the grapnel whenever you want without equipping it.
Yeah, the grapnel's just built into your... Well, it's just a constant, always ready attack. Yeah, the grapnel's crazy. The grapnel and parachute as primary means of locomotion. Was it? You called it the Bionic Commando game or something, didn't you? Yeah, it's very much, very much the case. I'm enjoying it immensely. There's some fantastically bad voice acting in it as well.
I think deliberately so.
I wonder if that's bad or what. I don't know. I don't really have much familiarity with how people from that region of the world speak normally anyway.
But not like that.
Not like that, I would imagine. No, no.
No one speaks like
no
that.
No one speaks like that. It's crazy. I liking that. It seems quite short. I think I'm probably on the last mission now, and I've only been playing it a week or two.
Have you seen how many
settlements? Loads and loads of side missions, though, yeah. And interestingly, something I like is that each of the little faction missions seems very well thought out and elaborate all in itself. They're not just... Because in the first one, you had these little faction missions you could do, and they were literally... go from here to there, kill that thing, done.
Yeah.
You know, no, I mean, I did one for the roaches, and it sent me off to this island where their lost plane of cargo had got to.
Ah, that one. You did that one.
Yeah, I did that one. It was crazy.
There's a hatch there.
There's a what?
There's a hatch.
A hatch?
On that island.
Oh, God, I don't know. There was a
As
lot.
In lost.
Oh, I see. I didn't find that. No, but it's just, yeah. I mean, it was a huge whole island just set aside for this one mission with its whole set of different rules and a whole set of different things you have to do. It was really cool. I don't really want to talk about it too much. It'd be a bit spoilery, but...
Did you get vertigo going up the towers?
A little bit, yeah. I got a fantastic base jump off the top of it, though.
Oh, yes.
yeah, it's the same sort of thing as Just Cause. You're a lone CIA type agent attempting to destabilize an entire regime, this time set in the Southeast Asia sort of region. And this kind of Kim Jong-il figure that you need to basically remove from power by causing as much chaos and unrest as you can by just basically blowing everything up.
If it's red, blow it up.
It's got a Texaco star on it, shoot it. It's generally
not a Texaco star.
It's not a Texaco star. No, it's the White Star of Panao. But yeah, every time you come near one of the gas stations, you just think, yeah.
The Texaco, no.
Someone told Texaco about this game. Yeah, I do worry a bit about blowing up water towers and electricity and that kind of thing. It's, presumably Uncle Sam's going to come right in there and reconstruct that infrastructure after I've finished.
It will all be built in a model of American political reconstruction. Because, you know, experts on the subject.
Yeah, propaganda vans, fine. Military fuel installations, yes, no problem. Tanks, that's what I'm here for. But, you know, water towers in villages, are they not going to need this water to, like, you know, not die and stuff?
I assumed it rained lots.
Well, and also blowing up their electricity grid there, their infrastructure. But how are they going to watch telly now? You know, all the refrigeration's going to go off. What about the hospitals?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt quite bad in parts, to be honest. You really are not there for the people, are you? You're just there to cause as much damage as possible regardless, and let presumably wiser minds than you will sort out the political ramifications and the well-being of the people. It's good fun, though. It's got that whole sort of massive adventure playground feel to it all, which I'm really, I don't know, I'm just starting to take for granted a bit in modern games these days. I mean, yeah, the sandbox game.
Yeah, when they don't have it, it starts to feel a bit...
Well, you start to feel a bit cheated, to be honest. You paid, what, 40 quid for this, and basically you have to charge your way down one corridor with no side turnings with a gun.
Yeah.
And that takes about 6 hours to do. And yeah, okay, cutscenes help and so on, but I don't know, I just come to expect there to be this... Oh, by the way, here's, like, you know, 1,000 square miles of interesting terrain you can go crazy in.
Yeah, have fun.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah, we've got a story in here, but that's not the end, that's just the beginning, you know. It's almost...
In fact, the story is really a bit of an aside.
Yeah, tutorial, whatever. It's like, yeah, Assassin's Creed, obviously. I mean, this is another exactly, yeah, a very fine example. It has the whole star escalation problem, I find, that with GTA-style games, though. You know, a typical example, I'll be minding my own business, I'll be, you know, walking along, and I'll accidentally reverse a car into a gas pump or something. Next thing you know, a policeman see me, he gets all arsy about it, heat level one appears, still thing comes up the side, little gauge. Okay, so now I've got this policeman shooting at me, now what can I do? I can run away or I can shoot back. But I need to be here. I need to do stuff. So I shoot him back. That then triggers another couple of policemen. So many police on that island. I mean, this police state. It's an island, you know, it's an island, I don't know, about the size of the Isle of Wight, I think. And it's got a standing army that would rival Red China. And
Isle of Wight's what, a mile across?
I don't know. But just so many troops, and they're always on the road, always at all times, and they come in, and you know you'll shoot another one, and the jeep will appear over the horizon, another two. And next thing you know, they're calling for chopper backup. Now choppers, I've learned how to deal with choppers, and it's not that difficult actually, as long as you can survive the initial hail of bullets that come in when they announce their arrival. You jump across, you use the grappling hook onto the nose, jump in, swing inside, press the quick time mini game to punch them out of the cockpit, and then you've got a chopper, and that's great because then you can cause even more damage, and then they send more choppers, and of course. Every chopper, the quickest way to take it down is to take it over, and taking over the chopper makes them call in more back. Anyway, eventually you die because you're just bored of stealing helicopters the whole time. There's just no way to. Very difficult to break the cycle of escalating law response, you know? Which. Yeah. I think it's something that put me off GTA right at the start, and I've never really been a GTA fan ever since. Is because the slight, you know, you fart in a built-up area, and so next thing you know, you got five stars. You've been chased by armed tactical response units with, like, you know, helicopters and stealth bombers and things. And the only way to get rid of it was to die, basically. And it just, I mean, yeah, we had this discussion during the week about how to techniques for evading capture and, you know, getting out of the area and going to ground. And I can sometimes do it, but most of the time it just really spirals out of control. Once they start sending helicopters, you know, the only way to be safe from a helicopter is to hijack it. You know,
yeah.
Otherwise,
don't look at it as the bad guys going at you with a helicopter. Look at them bringing you a helicopter.
Delivery, yeah. I find myself, you know, when I've finished a thing, thinking, oh, bugger, they never sent a helicopter. Now I've got to walk somewhere, which is annoying. But, yeah, I mean, that can be quite annoying, but I suppose it's more a question of cautious play. It's very difficult to stealth it up, though. I mean, they've got very long ranges of detection, the sort of rank and file troops. You know, they can see you from miles away and will start shooting at you and continually till you can break some line of cover, I suppose. But yeah, those sort of niggling annoyances aside, it's just a massively fun game.
It is.
It's just charging up. They'd really do explosions well. I mean, you just sort of come over the brow of the hill, you know, grappling your way through the forest with a parachute, and you're just thinking, look, an oil refinery. Right. You know, half an hour later, you're walking away, and there's just pillars of smoke rising from all directions behind you. Mayhem.
Did you like the oil rig and the Harrier?
Probably haven't done that yet. Doesn't sound like.
Okay.
I don't think I found a Harrier. I found an oil rig, though, which is quite good. Just massive explodey tanks on the outside. They're obviously mining explodium.
And you haven't had to shoot those yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Did you find Arecibo?
I think I might have seen it in the distance. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
You've got a while to go.
Yeah. Well, it depends. I'm trying to mop up faction missions. I don't want to race through the story too quickly, but I guess it will dump me out the far end with all this stuff I can still do anyway.
Well, these are proper missions you've got, so yeah, you've got way to go still.
Right. Okay. I'm at the bit where I have to choose one of the factions. To become the I presumably the next rulers of this island. But a lot of fun there. I mean, I'm enjoying a lot of that. That's probably it for me, really.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you want to talk?
I guess I should.
You probably had better.
Somebody better. Right, okay, what have I played? Not a lot in the last couple of weeks, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I shall start with Rock Band 3. Because I finally, this week, got my keytar.
Oh, crikey, yes.
It finally turned up.
God, you've been banging on about this for weeks.
I know.
It's like I know you're often quite nostalgic for the 80s at the best of times.
Yeah.
But this has been particularly bad. So it's arrived. I'm looking at it. It's a lot less impressive than I was expecting, to be honest. Not as silver either. And too many curves. That's not a proper 80s keytar.
It's a brilliant 80s keytar.
Well, it's a Rock Band keytar.
Yes, it is. Which is basically just a MIDI keyboard.
Okay. So you can put it on a table and use it sideways. You don't have to stand there with a shiny suit and bubble perm rocking
out. And what it basically does is gives me the ability to play keys on a whole bunch of songs.
Right. Does it not have a... Because I remember when we were at Eurogamer, we were looking at it. There was a little keyboard on a stand. Is that different to the...
That's that.
It's that?
Yeah.
Or maybe I just didn't see the handle.
You probably just didn't see the handle.
Ah, fair enough. Because you were too... So that's the only keyboard available, really.
You were too in awe of the guitar, I guess. Hmm. Which still isn't out.
Oh, yeah. The 102 button guitar.
I don't want the 102, I want the proper string one.
Oh, the string one, blimey. But okay, so you're giving that a bit of a go.
Yep, it's very good.
You're playing Imagine by John Lennon.
I was failing to play Imagine on Hardest earlier.
So you've got the varying difficulty levels, which are associated with all of them. You've
got normal keys. Yeah. With the keyboards, guitars and drums now, you have normal and pro modes.
Pro.
Mm. Normal mode is basically, you know, the old style stuff. Pro mode is go a bit to town and actually play properly.
Yeah.
And it actually has guitar lessons and keyboard lessons and drum lessons in there now.
Yeah, I mean,
where it teaches you the theory.
Certainly, the whole sort of genre got a lot of flack early on for not being proper music and not teaching people how to do real music.
Well, it does now.
It does now, yeah, exactly. So they've certainly addressed that.
Give it a couple of years and people will be using the Rock Band notation instead of real music notation. Maybe not. I managed to five-star my first keyboard track on Expert Pro keyboard.
Well done.
Yes. It was an in-excess track with a single chord repeated.
Halfway through, you push a button. Done.
Three buttons at once, repeatedly. But yes, I managed to 100% that track. Brilliant. But yeah, apart from that, it's more Rock Band. Just a big refinement.
I think everyone's familiar with the concept, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's a worthy upgrade. If you're going to go for the new instruments, it's definitely worth it. Mm. And also, it's got Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right. With keyboard support. I noticed your big track list there, not everything has keyboard available.
Well, I've got loads of tracks from the Rock Band 1 and 2 era.
Oh, okay.
Which is before they added the keyboards.
So you can slot all your previously purchased music.
Yeah. You can export stuff from on the old discs and use them. So it moves everything along quite nicely.
Yeah, good stuff.
What else have I played? There was... not a lot, actually. We played some games at the video show, which you can see on the video show.
Ah, the video show, yes. Yes, we were looking at the Doritos-based game.
Harm's Way was the first one. That video's out already.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
There was some racing sideways.
No, that was Harm's Way.
No. Racing along sideways.
Yeah, I can't remember what that was called. Anyway, yes, that video will be out later in the week, possibly by the time you read this.
Excellent.
Read this. Listen to this.
It's audio, visual, crazy.
Because no one will do transcripts for us. I've asked and no one will do it. What else? I played a tiny bit of Rock Band 2. Yeah. No, not Rock Band, I'm sorry, Dead Rising 2. I jumped in to try the multiplayer.
Oh, okay. How's that play out?
Well, because I played it before. I was just tempted to look in and see how easy it was to get a game of it.
Mm.
Because if you're playing the game, it's a really nice way of making money in the game. And yeah, I got a game almost instantaneously against a bunch of people who weren't all really good. So I guess it's still being quite popular.
Excellent.
I also got achievements on A Kingdom for Keflings.
I saw that. This is your shameless banner tower farming, isn't it?
Yes, I've got one more to get on that.
Go on then, do the appeal.
No, I'm not going to do an appeal. I'll have got it by then. Because the new Keflings game is out next week, I think.
Crikey, I didn't even know there was one.
So it's vitally important that we all get together and finish all 200 points on this game and it will be great and brilliant.
Right.
Because the new one will be out soon.
So this is the thing where you need to get... You can make a banner with a picture of yourself on it and you take that into other people's worlds and leave it there, and if there enough of them leave you, you get collect 20 of these things, you get another achievement.
I've got the 21. I need to get 10 people to make them, and I think I'm only not at 10.
Some crazy online achievement,
because I took the 20 banners having been made off of someone else, because when you quit out you can save their map, which is quite handy. So you can take over their map and use it as yours from then on. But this other achievement needs people to log in and do it. And if I haven't got enough by the next What We're Playing show, I'll put out an appeal.
Right.
And beyond that, there's just two last games.
Ooh, crikey.
There's Eve.
Yes, how's Eve
going?
Yes,
we've been playing Eve.
I understand you've taken up the previously vacant post of Fleet Chaplain I'd left.
Moral Compass
for the Wednesday Wormhole group. Yes, how's that working out for them?
They're quite happy with their Moral Compass, I believe, because we started killing stuff. We did a wormhole this week, and we got a kill.
Reprobates all of
the first kill I've got with them. They've been getting killed at other times when I haven't
been.
You've
been gloating at that kill mill through my bit of the talking.
I got it out so I could read it. We were in a wormhole.
You're going to name and shame your victim on the podcast.
No, I'm not.
That's harsh.
We were in a wormhole.
Yes.
We found a warp disruption bubble with containers in it.
Okay. What containers to decloak people?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a cyclone sitting next to it.
Uh huh.
It's a battle cruiser.
Right.
So we thought, right, that's a rubbish trap. We will deal with it. And so we jumped at him and blew him up very quickly and then bodied him.
Podded him.
Yeah.
Referee.
Only having a look at his fittings afterwards.
Name and shame fitting time. Here we go.
No. Well, yes. He had 4 gas cloud harvesters, a probe launcher, a prototype cloak, and 2 a skirmish warfare link, evasive manoeuvres, and 1 for rapid deployment.
That to me says I am not gate camping. That says to me I just turned up at this bubble
in
at the
his
wrong
lows
moment.
He had 3 nanofiber 2s with 1 free and nothing on his mids and no rigs.
No mid slots at all.
No. He wasn't even trying. He was gas cloud harvesting without. Yeah, so I don't know why he was sitting by this gate camp on his own, not doing anything.
Well, he probably should have known better, I suppose, but the podding seems harsh.
We didn't know at the time, and then again, we taught him a lesson about just sitting there in the totally unsuitable ship.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yes.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
I don't have any problems sleeping at night because of this kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
The problems I have sleeping at night is because of the screams of my victims.
Right.
Outside the game. It's quite good actually. We've been doing a bunch of wormholes and it makes money. It makes lots of money.
It's very good.
And
income.
I don't know why people aren't all doing wormholes.
Yeah, yeah. Get more fleet up in there. I think soloing wormholes is a bit intimidating, which is why people don't do it. But
especially if you've got a fit like that one.
If you can put together a small fleet, three or four people up to 8 or 12 or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
There's roles for everyone as well. It's a good group activity.
It is. There was one point we were in this wormhole, we were scanning it down, there was found a wormhole out, which led to MR, the system. So there was a quick pause, everyone went to their shopping.
Shopping break.
It was quite handy, really. Yeah.
Hardened space veterans, all of you.
We are. Mm. You take your shopping trips when you can get them.
I suppose, yeah, resupply.
Yeah, actually, there's another trip on this evening.
Excellent.
Which they will obviously get.
I've seen a lot of people in the wormhole channel on Mumble
Server. It's busy every day of the week.
Most nights, yeah. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, despite you deserting them, or perhaps because of it, they've gone from strength to strength.
I'm not intimidating them all into not being a part of it now. That's probably it, or something.
Yeah. And my final game.
Yep.
Well, I decided this year that I was going to complete loads more games.
Mm, yes.
And it worked out needing to have completed 26 by the end of the year.
This weird obsessive compulsive ritual thing you've got going on.
The problem was I wasn't completing games.
Well, it seems a shame to buy as many games as you do and not see the end of any of them, yeah. So you've been...
I've been completing them.
Right.
And I worked out I needed to complete 26 games if I was going to have completed 2 a month or 1 every What We're Playing show.
Yes, yes.
And last night I did it.
Well done. So what was your last item?
Gran Turismo 5.
GT5, you completed it?
Yes, the end credits, which is what I roll my completed on, are randomly halfway through the game.
Huh?
You complete this one event and it gives you the finale trophy, and then runs end credits.
Huh.
Which is good. Then I got loads more to do, but I'm counting that as winning.
Right, I guess. Is that a particular championship series that forms the core of the racing?
Well, there was just this one event at one of the difficulty levels reasonably high up, which is the Gran Turismo tournament or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I completed that.
So a technical win then, yeah.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Do you want to know what games I completed this year?
Go on then, read them out.
This is quite good.
Yeah.
Alan Wake,
I remember that, yeah.
Yep. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
This is alphabetical, by the way.
Good, good.
Crackdown 2.
Yep.
Darwinia Plus. Dead Rising 2, Case Zero.
Can you have Case Zero?
Yes.
Well, go on then.
It's a full game.
Yeah.
Fable 3.
Yep.
Forza 3.
Mm.
Flower.
Yep.
God of War 1.
God of War 1. Oh, yeah. So you don't make sacrifices for this show.
I enjoyed God of War 1's okay. GTA 4, The Ballad of Gay Tony.
Uh-huh.
Halo Reach.
Mm.
Heavy Rain.
Yep.
James Bond 007, Bloodstone.
Wow.
Just Cause 2.
Yep.
Lego Harry Potter, Years 1 to 4. Limbo, Mafia 2, Mass Effect 2, Red Dead Redemption, Risk Factions, and Stop Mocking My Hat. Which will only make sense when they see the video, which hasn't gone out yet, so that's a rubbish joke.
Get a new head.
Sam and Max, The Devil's Playhouse, Episode 1, The Penal Zone.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, Web of Shadows, first game of the year.
Uh-huh.
Started playing drunkenly on New Year's Day when I got in. Splinter Cell Conviction, Supreme Commander 2, and The Wheelman.
Hmm. Are those all released this year?
No, they're just the games I completed this year.
Okay.
Most of them were released this year.
Hmm. Well done.
It's quite impressive. So next year, I'm going to do a similar thing.
Yep.
But I'm going to go back and try and complete games that I've played earlier.
Hmm.
Because I got the Xbox in September 2006.
Uh-huh.
and I got a bunch of games then. And if I look at the list, back then I got the games that I played in my first month of having it. Before that was a PC gamer.
Yeah,
I got Project Gotham Racing 3, Hectic HD, Saints Row, Oblivion, Tomb Raider Legend, Battle for Middle Earth 2, Dead Rising, Lego Star Wars 2, Burnout Revenge, Doom and Marble Blast Ultra.
Some classics in there.
Yeah, and I've completed Saints Row, Oblivion, Dead Rising, Lego and Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And the others, I'm going to go and complete them.
Right.
And I'm going to start from the beginning and complete games until I caught up.
Does that mean you're going to stop buying new games?
No.
Oh, you're going to go mental. You're just going to have a psychotic episode one show.
No,
because awesome.
I'm not going to aim at more than one every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fine.
Okay.
And I'm going to do the same. I'm going to clear off my old back catalogue and I'll be able to draw a line under whole years of gaming.
Yeah.
Saying, I actually finished that year.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could claim anything. I mean, I tend to play MMOs, which I've never complete, generally. I've got two of them I've ever max-charactered in.
I complete MMOs all the time.
Yeah, I just sort of flip backwards and forwards between them. I will borrow the occasional 360 title from you. My list is nowhere near as illustrious.
What have you completed?
I can't remember.
Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed 1, 2 and Brotherhood. I don't know, that's probably all this year as well.
Yeah. When did you complete Just Cause 2? That must have been this year.
I haven't completed Just Cause 1 yet.
I
should probably go back and do that.
Haven't you?
No, I'm about one mission away from the end. I keep forgetting to do it.
You should do that. Yeah. You support the ending.
I know. I've just doing it all out of
sequence.
Did
you find
now.
The plot did not make sense?
What, in Just Cause 1?
Oh, no, between the two. The massive reveal at the end of 1.
I haven't done the end of 1
There's
yet.
No massive reveal at the end of 1.
All right.
No, not at all.
I'm quite interested to know why Rico is an entirely different character now. Grizzled space marine minus space suit instead of the Antonio Banderas alike from the first game.
He's still a bit Antonio Banderas-ish. Yeah. Sort of.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, that would be it. That would be the games I've played because I haven't played much.
Right. Excellent. So, what did you learn this week?
I learnt that I have no moral compass.
And I learnt that snow is not necessarily a bad thing.
Snow's great.
Yeah.
Have a look on the site. We've got the video show, which we're getting one out a week now.
Mm.
Latest one was Harm's Way, which is a racer on Xbox Live, a free one. Everyone seems rather interested after having put it. Lots of people on Twitter saying, oh, that looks like fun.
Yeah.
So I think we might be working.
Are we educating people?
We may well be.
Good grief.
Apart from one listener's son who seemed a bit obsessed with it. The show, not the game. there's no new show this week because it's Christmas. Next week there probably will be a new show, but I'm not entirely sure when we're recording next week because it's Christmas.
Oh, just be flexible, people. It'll all be there.
It'll turn up.
Do something.
And next week will be our end of the year show.
Hurrah!
We've got awards.
I get to bring in Twiglets.
Oh, not the Twiglets.
Oh, I love Twiglets.
Hours of post-production trying to edit out the wrestling.
Well, and with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.